since 2 o'clock in attendance, and I'm going to count John because I just seen go by. President Karen Hartley Nagel, Dee Durham, Janet Kilpatrick, Lisa Diller, Dave Carter, George Smalley, John Cartier, and myself. My aide, Mike Rodriguez, will be taking care of the minutes. What's your pleasure on the minutes from before?
Motion to approve the minutes April 2nd.
Second.
Motion made, seconded. Any questions? All in favor accepting the minutes as printed? Right, yes? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Again, you have to give us the right
one. Oh, the right one. I'm sorry. I go to one meeting or another meeting, need like a thing. This guy likes it like that. Okay, we're just going to turn this meeting right over to Public Works, Tracy Sherrills, about the Green NCC update.
Sure, thank you. Tracy Sherrills, Public Works Department. Today we're going to give you a general overview of some of the county's initiatives under Green NCC, but we're also going to particularly focus on some of the department's initiatives which are related to our regulatory mandate and requirements. And we're also getting ready to launch a new program at the end of this month, so we thought it would be timely to provide you with this update. This is just our Green NCC mission. It does have, for our department, a particular focus on water quality pursuant to a lot of our regulatory requirements, both the sanitary sewer and the storm sewer system. But overall in the county, there's been a lot of initiatives. As you know, this is one of the county executive's initiatives. So initially when he came into office, he set up the Green Newcastle County Working Group, where he brought together nonprofits or other organizations with environmental interests so that we could collaborate and maybe achieve efficiencies or brainstorm on initiatives together. The solar ordinance was passed relatively early on. As far as native species, there's an executive order that we will use only native species in county parks and buildings. In addition, the UDC was amended to have a much a plant list that was much more favorable to native species and avoiding the invasive species. As far as our buildings, we don't require LEED certification, but we do have a new policy that all new buildings will try to implement solar and all other green practices that make sense and are appropriate. We're getting ready over the next 6 months to install electric car charging stations at the Government Center and at the Brandywine Library. There is a state program where we get grant money for the station itself, and we did a survey at some of our buildings, and actually the Brandywine Library has some electric car users, so that's how we picked the two locations to start out with. As you know, we had the open space workshop, and we're working on establishing the task force. The county's participating again in the state ag preservation program. Another one of Matt's big initiatives that's linked to Green Newcastle County is connecting communities through bike trails and alternative transportation. We just finished our Clean Streams Great Schools program, and we're going to get into more detail on the clean water education. So I just tried to highlight some of the things that we've been working on. When it comes to public works and our clean water public education, for the sanitary sewer, we're required to establish a fog program to reduce our SSOs, and public education has been a big part of that, both to residents, but also to a lot of the commercial food establishments, which they can be a primary source of freeze in our system. From the stormwater perspective, we have a stormwater permit, a joint permit with DelDOT, and it specifically requires us to do a lot of public education to actually change the behavior of target communities, decrease pollutants into the MS4, which is the Municipal Separate Storm Sewer System, if you don't know what that acronym stands for. So we have to have a minimum of 250,000 impressions per year as far as public outreach.
Tracy, I just want to announce that Councilman Hollins has joined us.
As far as the sanitary sewer goals goes, we just ended recently our Great Schools Clean Streams campaign. Again, this year we were over 16,000. We received our greatest participation yet, And we really believe that this is an effective part of our FOG program. As you see by the chart to your bottom right, SSOs have declined as our public education efforts have increased. SSOs are the grease is the number one cause of sanitary sewer overflows in our system. So this is an important problem for us to tackle. Last calendar year was our lowest number of SSOs in our history, and we've decreased them about over 70% in the past 10 years.
Councilman Smiley.
No, I just wanted to say on that program, I'm registered for three schools. And I was inundated from all three of them the whole time that contest was going to sign.
I thought
it was great that the push was out there. I mean, it didn't matter if you'd already signed on or not. They just kept. So they're definitely having to participate in this. Is definitely pushing out at least to those that are registered for the updates from those schools.
That's good. Thank you. I think we're in the process of really updating a green Newcastle County website that'll talk about the grease, but also a lot of our other programs. That next year, I think we'll use the Great Schools Clean Streams program to help, you know, advertise that link in other programs we're doing also for awareness.
I have a couple of residents in Penn Acres South that I think still have the photos. If you want to show photos of what can happen to your neighbor's basement if you put the grease down.
Yeah.
And we don't pay for it.
For stormwater, the NPDES permit actually has a lot of public education requirements. We're supposed to increase public awareness so that they are reporting the presence of illicit discharges, which can be your neighbor putting motor fluid down the storm drain. All the storm drains as part of our first permit cycle, along with DLDOT, you'll notice all the storm drains have that notification on them now. That was actually part of our permit requirements. So we're supposed to educate constituents on a lot of the things listed here, which I'm actually going to go into more detail, so I won't read them all to you right now. What we're doing right now is we put over 70 signs up in our parks over the past 6 months and at some of our facilities, whether it's cleaning up dog waste, talking about the benefit of rain gardens, where we have examples of rain gardens in our parks, but over 70 signs were put up by our crews over the past 6 months. And we're trying to lead by example as far as native plants, rain gardens, and our building practices. We are collaborating, as I said, with environmental organizations and trying to coordinate on common efforts, and also often trying to find a way to cost share for these efforts. Some of our special projects that we're working on right now, the Partnership for Delaware Estuaries, they do a program with us each year where they help us construct a rain garden at a location, and they also provide training to our employees on the proper maintenance of these rain gardens. So one was constructed, a second one at Glasgow this year, and they do that, a lot of that with their own funding as far as the plant material and training our employees. We're also working on a new program with them where they, as a nonprofit, are eligible for a grant that goes towards taking freshwater mussels and putting them in stormwater ponds to assist in improving water quality, but also because of the degradation of the freshwater mussel population in Delaware. So it has multiple benefits. As a nonprofit, they're eligible for grants, and so we are partnering with them, just starting this program. As far as Delaware Nature Society, we are working with them on the Clean Stream Champion program, and that's something I'm going to talk about a little bit more in later slides. And the White Clay Creek Steering Committee, we're partnering with them on some efforts. They actually have a Capture the Rain program through which they obtained a grant from the William Penn Foundation, and they are able to subsidize homeowners putting in a rain barrel, a rain garden, other green measures, and pay 50% of it. Residents in Newcastle County in the White Clay Creek watershed are eligible for this program, and nobody in Delaware has participated. So I actually am sitting on that steering committee, which is how I learned about the program and the fact that nobody from Delaware was participating. So we're working with them at Paper Mill Park in the fall. They're actually purchasing some plants to establish some rain gardens and green infrastructure around our pavilions, along with signage. And then we're going to encourage Delaware residents in that watershed to take advantage of this program where they can get some funding for these initiatives. So those are the ways that we're trying to partner with others, you know, to reduce some of the financial burden on the county.
And I just want to mention that Councilman Tackett has joined us. Ms. Dillon?
I just have a question. How far does the White Clay Creek watershed go? The reason I'm asking is that I've had people in multiple communities along Route 4 be very interested in these rain barrel and rain garden programs, and I never heard of this program before, which I guess that's a good thing that you're telling us, but mm-hmm. would they be eligible to participate in something like this?
As long as they're in the watershed, and I could get you that map. It's hard for me off the top of my head,
okay.
But I can get you that map, certainly. And what I think the county hopes to do, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit more, is to eventually offer this type of program mm-hmm. to county residents. So, and I'm going to talk about some of those efforts. But I will get you.
Yeah, that would be great.
Because, yeah, I didn't realize that program existed either. So I think that one of the benefits I'm seeing to meetings with these groups and more coordination is learning of opportunities mm-hmm. Like this for our residents. So this is a picture of the rain garden as it was being constructed at Glasgow Park this year with members from both Public Works and the Partnership for the Delaware Estuaries. They also helped us, like I said, we had two separate training sessions for our parks crews, and they just actually occurred in the past month in the springtime. The freshwater, I think I got ahead of myself and talked about a lot of this. This project is just beginning. Just found out they received the grant, so I can update you as it goes forward. The program that we are starting to educate and hope to launch in the next few months is we're calling it the Clean Stream Champion Program. It's something that Delaware Nature Society is assisting us with. We were looking for a way to really educate the public. I think a lot of people are interested in a rain barrel, for example, but they don't know where to get them, how to install them. Mm-hmm. And when we looked at some other jurisdictions, we found a program where if residents pledge to do certain things, they actually would get a flag in their yard or some kind of notice that they're like a river champion or a stream champion. And these programs also allocate a certain amount of money per year to actually assist with some of these BMPs and implementation. And that's our ultimate goal. What you see here is a card. This was actually advertised recently. We tried to reduce some of our important requirements into five important steps. You see those listed there. I'm going to go through them in a little bit more detail.
Tracy, I interrupted you. Councilman Bell has joined us too.
Sure. Scoop the poop. As this notes, several of the TMDLs require significant reductions in bacteria in our county. 1 gram of dog waste contains over 23 million colonies of bacteria, and this is truly a significant source of water pollution in our county. So, and to the right, that's an example of the signs that we've put up throughout our parks. Garden for Water and Wildlife. Here we're trying to educate about not just rain barrels and rain gardens, but also the many benefits of native plants. And I've learned a lot more about that over the past year or two myself. From a clean water perspective, the native plants don't need as much fertilizer. So that's a benefit. They also have deeper root systems, so they do a better job of filtering water and preventing erosion. From a habitat perspective, I never realized the significant advantages from a habitat perspective. As an example, an oak tree, a native oak tree, hosts over 500 species of caterpillars. And I didn't realize this, but birds, when they're feeding their young, will eat anywhere from like 60 upwards caterpillar a day. And your Bradford pears and your ornamental trees that are not native host zero of the things of caterpillars that the birds need, and I think it's about 50% of our bird species are endangered. So There are a lot of clean water benefits, but just generally you don't realize how many benefits to the environment these native species have. Lead only rain down the drain, talked about this a little bit. This shows somebody intentionally, you know, putting something down the drain, but a lot of times people don't realize washing their cars, or they have an oil leak in their car or their lawnmower, all of that eventually ends up in the storm drain. And so we're trying to increase awareness there. And reducing household chemical use. A lot of even our household chemicals, a treatment plant may not always treat for that, so eventually components of that do get into our water system. So for the what we're starting at the end of this month is actually a hashtag photo contest. We're taking the five main components that I just spoke of and asking people to take pictures related to each of these in their home and send those to this on social media, this hashtag. And ultimately, we'll pick some winners of people who do that through the hashtag contest. And also, the first 1,000 who participate get a postcard that educates about the five steps, but also has Black-Eyed Susan wildflowers embedded in it, so you can just plant the card and they will grow. So this is kind of our soft launch of the program, because it gets people used to the five components that we're trying to emphasize. Later in the fall, I think we're actually going to start the Clean Stream Champion program, so that households who will pledge, similar to the Great Schools Clean Streams, you do a pledge, they'll receive a yard flag or car magnets to recognize that they're Clean Stream Champions, receive some educational material. And I also mentioned, I already spoke about the Paper Mill Park project. And then eventually, in fiscal year 21, we hope to have some funding to assist people with the rain barrels and the other green infrastructure. So that would be part of that Clean Stream Champion program. So the hashtag contest is going to be launched, like I said, at the end of this month and run through the middle of June. I know it's a little bit of a tough time frame being at the end of the school year, but if you want any material on that or want to promote it at any of your community meetings, we certainly have some brochures and other things that we'd be happy to provide you with. So that's it.
Okay, any questions? Councilman Cartier?
I think it's really great. We're launching a pretty comprehensive environmental effort. I think we're in a good position to do this kind of initiative. The one lack of a data point or something to be aware of with the public is we do know that, you know, flushing your pharmaceuticals ends up in the waterways and ends up in the environment. And there's, you know, it's pretty much known now, millions of pounds of pharmaceutical drugs end up, because it does not get removed by, you know, standard, you know, sewage treatment that I'm aware of. And, you know, I think that's something you should think about adding, you know, to remind people that, you know, properly dispose of these, you know, prescribed medications or just expired off the shelf. We have that drug pickup down at the public safety, you know, building, the Sweeney building. But I think that's a really important.
I think a lot of drug stores are doing it too now.
Yeah.
It's actually a very good point, and I think it could be added to where we talk about household chemicals. You know, it could be pharmaceuticals and chemicals. So that's very good input, and that's easy to add.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Council President Harley Nagel.
I just want to say, you are doing a fabulous, just phenomenal job with this. I love these programs that you put together, and all the information that you have gleaned over the last couple of years, going to a number, and it had to be very time-consuming and hard work getting to all those meetings. And retaining a lot of what you've learned over the years and now incorporating it. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Councilwoman Dunn.
Thanks. I echo the kudos, of course, with everything you're doing. I just had a couple questions. One is, you mentioned the electric car charging station, one of which is at the library. What's the timing on that, do you think?
The one at the government center, we're going to begin in the next month.
The installation.
Yeah, so. I'm not sure what the lead time is on ordering, you know, everything, but it's something that the direction has been to proceed immediately. I can update you when I know a more exact time frame. Brandywine Library will probably start later in the summer. So maybe even in July at some point, but I will update you. Okay. I know that's in your district.
Just, yeah, appreciate that. Celebrate it when it
and your district has the electric car users working at the library.
Oh, that's why that's
so. Yeah, so maybe do a ribbon cutting or something at the library. That'd be great. Or just a little celebration whenever you're ready to launch it. And my other question was just, you mentioned, I think if I heard you correctly, about like you encourage new buildings to have solar. Is that?
We do. So as an example, initially we said we would require new buildings to have solar. We're looking at some designs for the Southern Paramedic Station, but the architect has concerns that the way the roof, unless you completely realign things because we're rehabbing an existing facility, that you wouldn't get the sunlight at certain times to really make it as beneficial as it could be. But they actually did an analysis to show us that it wasn't just, you know, they said it and we accepted it. They actually kind of performed an analysis and thought it wouldn't work for that building. So that's, you know, that is our intent. But if something really doesn't make sense,
yeah, more for new buildings,
right? For new buildings, yes.
So for new county buildings,
for new county buildings. We have solar at Hokeson Library at a couple of our facilities, and we're going to try to upgrade that a little bit to increase the benefit. I think we'd like to do as much of that as we can. We have a lot of rehab, like even of like electric HVAC systems right now that are kind of pushing ahead.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's great. I just wanted to clarify. Mm-hmm.
Tracy, food for thought. Remember, we had there is a state program, the SEC, is that what it's called, where Tony Prima came here one time?
SEU. And worked,
what's it called?
SEU.
SEU, that's it. That was, yeah, that was the athletic league, the SEC. But yeah, SEU. Are we still engaged in that, or can we look into that too? Because that was the low-cost loans that were like half of what we would spend. To look into that for any of our projects. And the way I understand it, like conduit bonding, even builders can use, you know, our names or whatever it is for the SEU, you know. So I just to look into it. I know we haven't talked about it in a while. Then I ran by him the last week and nobody's using this program. We got millions of dollars, and you know, I said, well, I'll bring it up. And then since you did that, I just thought.
That's a good idea. I remember we should look into that. I know we did the effort on a lot of that stuff
right.
a while ago.
Right. But this was the loan part of it itself.
Okay.
Ms. Dillon, I
can get the contact information.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay.
I'll work on that safe room.
Okay.
Ms. Dillon and Mr. Porter.
I just think this idea of these rain gardens in some of our parks is a really good idea. I think that if you can then identify the plant so that people get an idea that this is not a difficult thing to do, because I can see in some communities, you know, I was listening to a show that was looking at what they're doing in Houston post all the floods. They're developing just what they're calling pocket prairies, which is really a rain garden with native plants. And the amount of rainwater that these things can absorb is more than twice as much as an average lawn. So I'm just thinking that if we can get people used to the idea of this, being strategic, not just at a regional park, but in some of the other parks around, putting these rain gardens in that might give communities ideas, or people even in their own yards, as to how to use these plants. It would be a really cool educational tool.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. And in talking even to some of the environmental groups, I think one of the benefits we have as a county that, you know, DNS doesn't have is how many people are up at Ashland. You know, they might have their core group. But I think between our buildings and all of our parks, we have an opportunity to reach people that might not normally be aware. Mm-hmm. And we hope to build this over the next year to have like sample rain gardens on our website with plants and everything to make it very easy. Be able to provide assistance, even the number of calls we get as far as drainage in your yard. I have a place in my yard where I get standing water, and I did rain barrel. I mean, I tried to do it myself, and it does make a difference. And I think it could benefit a lot of us with our constituents who even have drainage issues.
Right.
So, good point.
Councilman Carter.
Yeah, a couple things we may want to talk about. You know, last year we passed a new PACE, the General Assembly passed a new PACE legislation, which is almost like a tax increment financing for large-scale solar type of stuff, and whether or not we might want to think about some of the community energy being permissible in things like our open space areas the community has that generate some money with a third party that can get the tax benefits and those type of activities down the road, which is much more efficient than house to house and meeting that 270 degree roof facing orientation and all that kind of stuff would be really good. And the sustainable energy utility is exactly the way they can begin to fund that.
Yeah, that's another integrated.
You know, it's a really good way to do it. The other thing, if you're interested, is I'm doing an update now actually for publication of the 15 communities in Newcastle County that we did open space conversions to natural habitat. For whatever reason, those records were lost, but working with Bill, at least for Cantwell Region, a few others, we were able to get that back into the county to get them. They're getting cited for high weeds 15 years later. I'm doing an analysis of what worked and what didn't that will be for a peer review publication, but also probably going to put together a 319 grant working with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and Marsha Fox, who co-authored that manual with me, to update that, probably with Kevin Donnelly as well, probably run it through the district or through one of the nonprofits. And if you're interested in getting involved with that, we're going to be doing that with the idea, I think they want to update the open space manual for communities statewide, but you know, it's pretty simple to update and use the one. It'll be based on the one that we wrote 15 years ago for Newcastle County.
Yeah, I'd be very interested in that because I've been speaking, I know Senator Hansen, I know Councilwoman Kilpatrick and Tackett have people in their districts interested in converting their open space. So,
yeah, it was funny because Stephanie came to me, have you ever seen this video? And I said, well, take a good look at it. I produced it and the manual. But that was 15 years ago. We've got some lessons learned, mainly governance and operational issues, not so much the technology, the plannings and that stuff. That it's nice to have that 15-year temporal scale to do the comparison and then use that to revisit some changes to the code.
And that would be great. You know, land use is working on some changes to the code related to that right now, so
yeah.
I'll make sure.
I sent a bunch of stuff to Jim Smith. I sent him all of my old records. I still have all of the training materials. We put together a full curriculum for communities. I still have every bit of that. All those records, all those PowerPoints. I think I sent a lot of them to Jim. I'm not sure if I sent it all. It's a pretty big volume, but it done. We're going to be moving on it anyway. I have an academic interest in it as well as a applied interest in it. If you are interested, I'll let you know. The publication will be public anyway when we get done.
Okay, that would be great.
Councilor Gordon?
Just to follow on about the solar energy issue. So a lot of thinking today is, you know, where you have buildings that don't have proper solar alignment, you go with a ground mount system. And, you know, that's, I think, really taking over is the way to go, because a lot of your existing buildings don't have a proper solar alignment, and rather than just throw away the opportunity for a solar energy installation, go with a ground mount. You know, if you have space or some, you know, I like this idea of converting open space to allow for ground mount solar, and that way you can optimize the system for, you know, solar alignment and capture, you know, maximum benefit from that with the maximum generation of electricity.
Yeah. All right.
And that's where the SEU can really kick in with that, too.
I'll make sure you get those contacts. Not today, but more. Michael Remember in the FOA. Anybody else? All right. Well, thank you, Tracy, very much. Anything under other? There's not a motion for that. Councilman Bell.
Yes. Chairman, I was just wondering if Tracy could, at this point, I know at Public Works, you budget hearing, you had said that you were still looking at a couple sites, Southern Newcastle County per park. Could you share with the council what site has been selected for the new park?
Tracy Searle. I think that we've narrowed it down, but frankly, we're still working with finance on some details as far as the financials, and that's the only reason it hasn't it's not that a decision's been made and it hasn't been put out there. We just got some information from financial advisors back in the past, like literally this week, like yesterday or so, and they asked for a little bit more information. So, I mean, I think you know one of the places we're looking at would be using a little bit of the water farm site, but then we have issues between sewer fund and general fund that we're trying to make sure that whatever decision we make is based on all the facts. You know, what will the cost be? What will we have to do? And so we're just trying to finalize that information. So,
And just so you know, and the reason I bring this out, we want to tout open and transparent government.
Mm-hmm.
I attended as well as you did, and Councilman Carter was here at Arbor Day at Bayberry.
Mm-hmm.
And we walked and we looked at all the neat things that's being done there. And in the public portion of program, not only did myself speak, Councilman Carter speak, but the county executive announced there, okay, that he would be announcing the next day that our newest park location in southern New Castle County would be at Parkside. Said it right in his presentation, okay? I had folks come up to me afterwards, and, you know, I was kind of a little taken by it from the standpoint he said it.
Okay. And I was there that day, but you know, yeah. I was oftentimes kind of ahead of the group.
I was standing right there next to him at the podium, and he said that, you know, basically he was kind of pleased to announce, he'd be announcing it tomorrow, is what he stated, that one of our newest park locations for in southern DeKalb County would be at Parkside.
So I'll be honest with you, Parkside, although we have it, is mm-hmm. not the spot not that right. Kendall and I would recommend right. from a yeah. parks.
But
perspective.
Yes,
there
program,
might have been some confusion. I just we're looking at the water farm across the street, so
well,
it
I mean,
might have just
imagine,
been honest confusion.
You can imagine how confusing it is
mm-hmm.
to be a council person and you know hear that, and it was said.
And I, like I said, I apologize. It's generally across the street at what we're looking at, and we have looked at other sites. We've negotiated with other landowners, okay. as I'm sure you've. You know, heard, so we're just finalizing
you know,
everything.
I mean, the general area that you were trying to focus on was the highest recommended area,
mm-hmm.
although I think we, I hope, in a cost-effective way, we'll look at some possibilities still a little bit to the north, and I would love to sit down and talk to you about trying to merge a collaboration with the Division of Fish and Wildlife at Augustine Beach, where they own the land mm-hmm. next to your treatment plant, to see mm-hmm. if we can do something, because it's so heavily used. Mm-hmm. During the summer, and it's a dump. And if the county could do a little bit to help maintain it, I think we could probably get access to Fish and Wildlife, probably say, put your trail in, do what you want to do. If you cut the grass, you can have it be a county park similar to what we did at Omaha. And then, because that area, even though it's not my district, that area we heard a lot about during the you know, the task force work about something over in that northeast corridor. It's a big void.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead, Councilman Bell.
And Mr. Chairman, I guess my point is, you know, we talk openly in meetings, and the other day we talked about a map and having locations and sharing resources. And I agree with Dave from the standpoint that if there's other resources out there we can share. And I mean, I look forward to the future of having more than just one park south of the canal.
Right.
Instead of building, you know, a conglomerate, you know, a large park that you know draws everybody to one location. I mean, I think the idea of you know trying to co-locate and build more than one park in areas throughout southern New Castle County is important. But I just asked because I heard what I heard in Public Works in the budget when I asked, and that's not what I heard the other day. And you know, like I say, it's going to be open. Transparent, we're going to be informative, and let's be a little inclusive with the folks that are also elected from.
Sure, point well taken.
Tracy Searles again, and the CAO just reminded me to both of your points as far as looking at several locations and trying to meet a lot of needs in the area. One thing we hear about all the time is the need for ball fields and leagues, and I think one of the thoughts had been Parkside, although maybe not the ideal spot for the regional park. Might be a good place eventually for some leagues to have some ball fields. So I think that might have been, you know, some of the confusion. We also, as you know, we have looked at some of the properties to the north in the central core, and one of the things we're looking at is possibly having an option or something into the future to still look at those, but maybe try to focus, you know, in the more central, near the water farm now. So, and I'm happy to,
well,
you know,
bottom
talk
line
to
is
both
there
of
was
you.
No confusion on my part standing 6 feet away of what was said.
Yeah,
So I just bring it before this council because that's not the way, you know, it should be presented and everything. And then, you know, let's move on.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Cartier?
Yes, Tracy, so Newcastle County acquired three homes at sheriff sale in Edgemoor Gardens. Okay, so I guess your division is going to do general maintenance and secure these properties. I know community services has long-term, you know, plans for them. Anyway, I just want to bring, and I'll send you an email, but I want to bring it to your attention. I was informed by residents that 43 South Pennywell, which we own, probably has a flooded basement. It's okay. Probably been flooded for a while.
Okay.
So I'll send an email about it later. And they were expressing a lot of concerns about that because they had a water main breaks that flooded adjacent properties, so this one's probably affected as well.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Ms. Councilman Swallow.
The only thing I will say is, while we're looking all over, all the new parks and everything else, let's make sure we look inside at the capability to maintain what we want to own.
Thank you.
Your department is still stretch to where you can't reach what we already have. You need to be manning up in more than just public safety departments and take care of what we have. So just
good point.
Keep focus.
Councilman Carter?
I just want to mention that Bill's comment about wanting a map. I did put most of that into a Google map that I can send you the link to. And anyway, when we did the task force in Southern Newcastle County, I actually set it off in a Google map. There's a web address that's available if anybody wanted to look at it. Send me an email, I'll pull up. It's still live, and I can provide that to you.
And Tim had actually represented at that time Special Services Committee on the park task force and everything. So, I mean, you know, it's not like we didn't hear that several locations were being looked at and everything. But like I say, public forum, public announcement. I go there, I'm very supportive and complimenting the administration, everything that was being presented that day, very positive. And I walk away getting in my car saying, that's not the way to hear it.
Congratulations on Park Sign,
I just want point to the map, if we could still get the map. And I thank you, Dave, but if we could get one, because I'd like to pull it up as a PDF.
I can export stuff to PDF.
You can? Okay.
I mean, I still had the stuff.
Now, does that have all of the parks on it? And the open space?
I just did south of the canal, but I mean, we can build that. They had that. And I have one that I did countywide when I was with Audubon that I did for Lisa and Jen. It's about 2 years old. But I probably have the most updated database of the state's open space as well.
Okay.
I could send you the link, and if we needed other stuff, I'm sure land use could do it, or I can. I tend to shift everything away from ArcGIS into Google.
Okay.
And I can send
and I'll
additional.
Talk to you about it after
okay.
the meeting. Thanks.
Don't ever lose your archive files.
Okay, you have anything else on the other? If so, motion for adjournment in order.
Second,
a favor.
Aye.
Thank you.
I think it's not everybody.